Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Luke chapter 3, covering the genealogy of Mary in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 33. The study is titled Genealogy Jive. This is a study that will demonstrate why any serious Bible student should not skip the genealogies when reading the Bible, and the kind of amazing nuggets of truth found within the genealogies in both the Old and New Testaments. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email. Send those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can send letters along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry, addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate by visiting bbfohio.com and using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen on your desktop, or by visiting bbfohio.com on your phone, and on the mobile site, use the drop-down menu. We now begin this study in Luke chapter 3, covering verses 23 through 33, titled, The Genealogy Jibe. This is part one. All right, two. Luke chapter 3, verse 23 is where we're going to pick up. We're going to, it says 38. Yeah, through the rest of the chapter. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Current events update before we get into the text. Question of gun control. Got knives? How many of you saw the headlines the last couple of days? Any of you? Yeah. We're busy eating turkey and everything, and then life goes on in other countries. In London, they had a big knife attack on a bridge, and did anybody hear the last tally, how many were killed and injured and everything?
I heard
two killed. And they ended up having a couple of Londoners tackling him and bringing him down, and then they have it on video where they show him shooting him. He'd already been jailed for Al-Qaeda inspired bomb plot. You know how to tell if it's a Muslim that commits a crime? Because they'll never describe him. They'll always tell you if it's some white dude or some black dude or something like that, but if it's a Muslim and he's either got the Muslim garb or he's Arabic or whatever, yelling Allahu Akbar or whatever, they'll never tell you that until like two, 3 days later it'll come in some of the stories. But it was an Islamic attack in London with knives. If you go to thereligionofpeace.com, the same day was the anniversary of last year. A young Hindu man and his Muslim wife were brutally hacked to death. You can take away the guns, you can't take the devil out of them.
Right.
They'll find a machete, they'll find a knife.
There's scissors, they use scissors.
Scissors. And the other picture of the little boy crying was over in Afghanistan 2 days ago. Women and children were blown up while attending a wedding. And that fits Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah, it's Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what were the days of Noah like? Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The earth has always had violence, almost always had wars going on. But the earth has not always been filled with violence the way it is today, and getting worse. Is that a mistake? No. I have another current events update. English. You're talking about Jenny teaching English, and I would not want to have that job. It's a hoot. Now, last week, this slide... Lead, whichever we're going to find out, you spell that, to conversation. We had a conversation here, and then when I went home online, had people asking. I said, Jesus led by example. Now, this is how much sense English makes, that if we say read or read, it's spelled the same. And
lives.
Huh?
Lives and lives.
Yeah. Well, I looked it up with Grammarly. The past tense of the verb lead is led, L-E-D, not led, L-E-A-D. One reason for the confusion might be that a similar verb, read, has an infinitive that's spelled the same as the past tense, but with lead, that's not how things are. And they give you lead is the correct way to spell the past tense of lead. L-E-D is the correct way to spell the past tense of L-E-A-D. And lead is a common misspelling of the past tense of the verb led. I still don't understand it. But that's how this the should be. Jesus led by example. Yeah, Charlie. Yeah, it's snooty northern colleges that have a lot to do with these rules. Yeah. The South will rise again, and we'll spell it L-E-A-D. Let's put it this way. If the professors at Ole Miss and LSU and, you know, Oklahoma University, if they were in control, English would be a whole lot better. Yes, the celebration dances are a little crude, but, we won't get into that. All right, let's open the word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for this time of gathering together in Jesus' name. Believers who want to come to a gathering place to learn the word of God in addition to the prayer and the singing and the fellowship. And we look forward to the food and fellowship afterward. We just thank you for those who have contributed, those who are in attendance, and those who might still be trying to make their way in. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we have a title, Genealogy Jibe. A lot of people skip genealogies. And if you do, you're missing a lot of good information. But I think it also helps your understanding. And by the way, jibe, J-I-B-E, is correct. I got this also off of, this is from Webster's current dictionary, but they had these little articles and things. Jive, J-I-V-E, versus jibe. In other words, we're saying that we're going to make these things jibe. And you'll hear people say jive with a V. And there's also a third term we'll talk about in a second. But people began confusing jive with a V and jibe with a B almost immediately after jive with a V entered our language in the late 1920s. In particular, jive with a V is often used as a variant for the sense of jibe with a B, meaning agree. As in, quote, that doesn't jive with my memory of what happened. It's actually supposed to be jibe with a B. The use of jibe, or this use of jive, although increasingly common, is widely considered to be an error. Amen. Probably by snooty Yankees. Jibe with a B, however, is accepted as a variant spelling of an entirely different word, which is jibe, G-I-B-E, which means to utter taunting words. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm not going to jibe you by uttering taunting words, and I'm not going to jive this morning either. We are going to jibe, J-I-B-E, the genealogies of Jesus. So let's look at Luke 3, beginning in verse 23. Boy, there's a jibe dance. There's jive talking. BGs, wasn't it? Jive talking. I don't know the words. Thankfully, I don't have that stuck in my head. Thankfully, disco is dead. Luke 3, 23 to 30, we're going to read. I want you to read the even numbers with me. I'll begin by reading verse 23. And Jesus, let me start all over. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos, which was the son of Nahum, which was the son of Esli, which was the son of Nagi, which was the son of Maath, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Simei, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joanna, which was the son of Resa, which was the son of Zerubbabel, which was the son of Salathiel, which was the son of Neri, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Adai, which was the son of Kosam, which was the son of Elmadam, which was the son of Ur. We'll stop right there. Oh, wait. I guess we want to go through 30, don't we? I had 28 in my brain. Which was the son of Josi, which was the son of Eliezer, which was the son of Joram, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Simeon, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Jonan, which was the son of Eliakim. And we'll stop there. We're going to stop there purposely, not just because I'm afraid you're getting bored. Because people do get a little, you know. I've heard testimonies and I've experienced myself reading genealogy, especially those in Chronicles. And you read through those and you start to nod off or think about the football game or something while you're reading. But that's because, and I don't say this to be mean, I'm talking about myself. When I was like that, it was ignorance. Ignorance is not an insult unless it's used as an insult. Ignorance is just a fact. All of us in this room today are on one level or another ignorant. Amen. Say it with me. I am ignorant. We are. God is the only non-ignorant person in the universe. And he's outside the universe, throughout the universe. He's not only omnipotent, but he is omniscient. That's the word omni with the word science, science being knowledge. Only God knows everything. The rest of us muddle through life in ignorance. But the goal is to not be ignorant of things that we shouldn't be ignorant of. See? If you have a goal of being as smart as God, you are going to be sorely disappointed. Although I've known some people who really think they're getting close. But that in itself is ignorance. Some people have the idea that when we go to heaven, we're going to know everything. And that's not true. You are going to learn for the rest of eternity and never catch up with God. Amen. God will always know more than you. Amen. And now, here's what I believe, though. See, on earth, I've learned more than I know. Why? Because I forget so much. Yeah. That's not going to happen in heaven. You see, the fact that your brain doesn't retain everything, although there are people who come really close to that, they're savants and all that, but most, I think everyone here is in the same boat I'm in, the boat that leads to nowhere, because we keep forgetting things. That's why Paul said to be a good preacher, you put people in what? Remembrance, because people are always forgetting. But in heaven, the difference, I believe, is we will never have to learn anything twice. I think our brains and our minds will be fixed. Right now, we're all subject to the fall. Therefore, we don't work perfectly. In heaven, you'll learn it once and it'll be there. But you always have something to learn. Yeah.
And that's also why, I mean, and maybe you're about to say this too, but that's why over and over again in the Old Testament, there's many, many things that God does to remind us.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, a lot of the traditions.
Yeah.
Monuments.
Well, the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen. So we began there in verse 23 at the beginning, and it said Jesus is 30. And then it says in the text that people suppose Joseph is his father, but he was adopted. Joseph was not his natural father. Jesus was born of a virgin named Mary. Funny thing happened one time. Talk about ignorant and just not knowing it. We were talking in class one day, and someone said, how do we know that Jesus was 30 when his ministry started? And I had been through the Bible a couple times at this point, but this verse wasn't coming back to my memory. And somebody else in the room said, well, I think it's because if you look at when he died and you do the math and went through this whole ordeal. And then the guy who was teaching said, no, that's actually not true. The Bible actually doesn't tell us how old he was. And then some little lady said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it does, actually. And told us to turn to this verse. And the teacher turned beet red in the face and had to admit he learned something that morning. I learn stuff all the time, not always Bible, but I learn something all the time from you folks. But anyway, Jesus was adopted. And these genealogies are the basis of the supposed contradictions between the two genealogies of Jesus here in Luke 3 and Matthew 1. One of the main reasons why people are not being saved today is because they're talked out of their faith in the Bible. Yeah. So that when you go to present the gospel, they say, I don't believe that book. I don't believe the Bible anyway. I don't believe it's holy, you know, a bunch of holy men wrote it, but it's a man-made book and all these things. And that how they're talked out of that is they constantly hear on the History Channel, PBS, and from the atheistic teachers and lecturers like Dawkins and Sam Harris and these and Christopher Hitchens and these guys. And they'll read the old books, you know, Tom Hume and Thomas Paine. He put a bunch of that stuff in his book, Common Sense. And there's other resources people read. Actually, who's the guy who was on the Tonight Show before Johnny Carson? Steve, his name's going, some of you old people ought to know this. Yeah. Who? Steve something. Yes, there was. He's a comedian. He's well known. If I say his name, some of you would know him. Anyway, he put out two big, thick books trying to prove that the Bible shouldn't be trusted as God's word and that it's full of errors. And people read that stuff. And so if you say, I want to preach the gospel to my loved ones. I want to see them get saved. I'm sorry, folks, but knowing the gospel is first and foremost. After that, you better start learning some things. You need to be able to defend the book.
Amen.
And this is one, this morning you're going to learn one big answer to a question you find a lot. But they'll claim there are two issues in the genealogy here in Luke 3 that prove the Bible is not the Word of God.
Steve Allen.
Yeah. Steve Allen. How many of you remember Steve Allen?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wrote two thick books trying to refute the Bible. I own them. Two issues. Number one, the name of Joseph's father. Look there in verse 23, it says the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Well, we know that that's not Joseph's natural father. Look over in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Look at verse 16. Matthew 1:16. Says, and Jacob, not Heli, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. So our Bibles are in contradiction. Let's go have a bonfire out back and then go get drunk. Amen? That's the attitude of a lot of people. What we're going to see is that there's a reason for that. We're going to explain it in a second. The other issue they'll bring up is Matthew 1, verse 6. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. Well, we'll come back to Luke 3 in a minute. We'll see that Solomon isn't in this genealogy in Luke 3. So that's a contradiction, right? It could be. But it's not, and we'll see in just a minute. So Heli is Mary's father. See, in Luke 3, says the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. But Heli is Mary's father, with Joseph listed as legal authority and guardian. In other words, when you kept genealogies in 30 A.D., this is probably a couple years before 30 A.D. Our calendars are off, so we have trouble today. We'll just say in the year 30, the way it ought to be, the real year 30. When you kept genealogies, you used a woman's husband. You used his name instead of her name in keeping genealogies. And so it says the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, because Joseph, being Mary's husband, is listed in the genealogy. It's not a contradiction, and it's really, if you think about it, it's nothing new. Married people call their father-in-law dad all the time, don't you, Stephen?
Yep.
And I call Stephen my son, and then have to explain to people that actually my son didn't marry my daughter, because some people are just a little too literal. Same last name didn't help. And Mariah wouldn't listen. She refused to hyphenate and be Mariah Miller Miller. Mariah Miller Miller.
I made her change her name to Jingleheimer Smith and then change it back to Miller.
Yeah, okay. People get really confused whenever I stand next to Charlie and I look up and say, "Hi, son." And they're like, "How did that come out of you?" Not literally, it came out of her, but you know what I mean. And, you know, I married a widowed mother of two, and I think of Charlie and Matt as my boys. And there's nothing wrong about that. I'm not lying. It happens all the time in just normal, but this was actually a legal, kind of a legal thing. It's a millennia old practice. And yes, that is a word. Millennia old. That means it's been going on for thousands, multiple millennia of years. And we've got historical documents outside of the Bible where the same thing is done. So it's not a contradiction to call Joseph's, to say that Joseph is the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And as I said, millennia old is correct, by the way, so you want to look that up. English is a hoot. I just thought I'd give you an example. Here's National Geographic. See the millennia-old formations underneath Yellowstone. And what I was surprised about is they didn't claim it happened millions of years ago. So, you know, that was pretty impressive for National Geographic. So those two issues, we can cross off the name of Joseph's father. We understand that there's no contradiction. You go online and look it up, they have a list of supposed contradictions in the Bible. That'll be one of them.
Can I make also one more?
No, you can't. No, go ahead.
Go to 1 Samuel 24:16. That's where Saul calls David
my son. Yeah, it's another example of it. No. I wasn't. There are several examples in the Bible, and he just gave you one. Give it again. What's the text?
1 Samuel 24:16.
Yeah.
That's precedent that the Bible called son-in-law son.
Yeah. In other words, we're not just making it up. It actually is the way it is. So that's the first of the two issues. But the real problem is found in Matthew 1:11-12, but we'll come back to that in just a second. In order to figure it all out, we need to go back to Jeremiah 22. And see, the thing is, in Jeremiah 22, there's a prophecy. And it's amazing. I'll say this over and over. The Bible is amazing. If you turn off the ignorant skeptics, I'm telling you, the skeptics are ignorant and they say things that aren't true, but they don't do it because they're flat out liars. They do it because they're ignorant. And when you look at these two genealogies and you hear these supposed contradictions, and then you look at Jeremiah 22, first of all, understand the background. In Jeremiah 22, Israel is in apostasy. The Babylon army is approaching to destroy everything. And here is Jeremiah prophesying. He's prophesying and telling them that God commands Israel to surrender. And so he's being called a traitor. He will be imprisoned and thrown into the muck and the mire. And then they'll use some dirty old rags, that dry rotted rags, and tie them all together to pull him out of the muck. They threw him in there because all he's doing is preaching the word. But it just happens to be something people don't want to hear. And for that reason, he gets thrown in the muck and the mire. They want to fight. And they think that if they just get right now, God will stand for them. And too bad. God's already said, you've gone too far. You're done. Yeah. You're going to be taken off into Babylon. In chapter 25, you read that, where he says, for 70 years. Yeah. And God's word is going to stand. The thing to do isn't to change the preacher, not to change the book like they are in the new versions. The thing to do is get right with God's word. Amen. You change. God doesn't change. So, at this time, Jeconiah is king, and he is wicked, and he refused to obey God. And it kind of makes sense as you're reading it. Like, you know, Jeremiah, man, he's kind of speaking against the nation, and it'd be like us in the war on terror if God came to got his men and said, I want you to preach that America needs to surrender and give themselves over to the Islamic armies. How would you like to hear that? Yeah. That's about the same that's going on here.
Yeah.
God refuses to call him Jeconiah.
Yeah. Right.
Keep that in mind as we're about to read. It's because the J-E at the beginning refers to himself, and God says, I don't want my name connected with that bum. So let's look at verse 24. Jeremiah 22, 24. Read verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. So you see, he knocked off the J-E and he calls him Coniah. He continues, verse 25, says, and I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, dead man walking, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And now read verse 26. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die. Won't you be my neighbor? Verse 27, but to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Now read verse 28. Is this man Coniah a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? So this is the prophecy against Jeconiah, that God refuses to use his own name, so he calls him Coniah. In verse 29, then he says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, watch this, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days. Here you go. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. In other words, God's cutting off the line of David at Jeconiah. And so if Jesus comes from that line, he's disqualified.